We have an enemy. I've said a few times from the pulpit that as Christians, we have a tendency of living as if God doesn't exist. And so we can, as Christians, we can tend to live as functional atheists. And we can say we believe in him. We can say that we believe that he'll meet our every need. We can say that we believe that he'll never leave us, that he'll never forsake us. We can believe that he died for our sins. We can believe all these things intellectually. We say we do, but then at times we still live lives filled with fear and shame and all kinds of anxiety. We say we believe, but sometimes we live as if we don't. I've said a few times, we easily forget who God is, who we are in Christ, and why we're here. But we also easily forget that we have an enemy. And it's not other people. And it's not somebody in here. It's not somebody out there. We have an enemy, and he is Satan, and he is real. The Bible calls him by a lot of different names. The accuser of the brothers and sisters, the destroyer, the murderer, the deceiver of the nations, the god of this world, the thief, the evil one, the tempter, the father of lies, and the enemy. And of course, the devil, Satan, Beelzebub, Lucifer, all of those. And the devil's greatest tactic is to convince you that he doesn't exist and to ignore his work in your life. Anybody ever read C.S. Lewis's book, novel, Screwtape Letters? Quite a few of you have. It's quite an interesting book. C.S. Lewis wrote it. It's a sort of fantasy sort of novel, but it actually, there's a lot of truth in it and what could actually be happening in the underworld. And it's about a master demon whose name is Screwtape, and he has an apprentice, his nephew, named Wormwood. And he's teaching Wormwood how to be a tempter to human beings. And so he's giving him all kinds of advice. And so the book is 31 letters written from Screwtape to his apprentice, Wormwood. And what Screwtape is trying to do is he's trying to get Wormwood to be successful at tempting human beings, and one in particular they call the patient, away from who they call their enemy, which is God, to who they call their father, which is Satan. And so the language is sort of reversed there for us. To them, the enemy is God, and the father is Satan. And I want to read several quotes from that book because they're very poignant. And so this is Screwtape writing to his nephew, his apprentice. And he said, "We want a whole race perpetually in pursuit of the rainbow's end, never honest, nor kind, nor happy now, but always using as mere fuel wherewith to heap the altar of the future every real gift which is offered them in the present." In other words, God gives us gifts right now, but we can't appreciate them because we're waiting for something down here. And we aren't living with him right now. We're saying, we don't have this, so we can't be happy, or whatever. Oops. Falling apart here. There we go. There's nothing like suspense and anxiety for barricading a human's mind against the enemy. And the enemy, of course, to the demon world is God. He wants men to be concerned with what they do. Our business is to keep them thinking about what will happen to them. And so living in fear, because we don't want to do this, because what if that happens to me? I can't do this hard thing, because what if God doesn't show up? If I do this, what are people going to say? And so Satan loves to feed our minds with all kinds of doubts and fears. and anxiety. Continuing, it is far better to make them live in the future. It is unknown to them, so that making them think about it, we make them think of unrealities. It is the most completely temporal part of time, for the past is frozen and no longer flows, and the present is all lit up with eternal rays. And Satan actually likes to keep us living in the future or living in the past and never in the present. You must therefore zealously guard in his mind the curious assumption that my time is my own. Let him have the feeling that he starts each day as the lawful possessor of 24 hours. The man neither makes nor retains one moment of time. It all comes from him by pure gift. He might as well regard the sun and the moon as his chattels. And we do tend to think that our time is our own. The 24 hours that God has given us, we think it's ours, but actually, well, it's given to us as a gift from God, every minute, every second. Surely you know that if a man can't be cured of church going, the next best thing is to send him over to the neighborhood looking for the church that suits him until he becomes a taster and or a connoisseur of churches. The search for a suitable church makes the man a critic, where the enemy wants to make him a pupil. Right? This church, it seemed really good. Then all of a sudden it's bad for some reason. I'm going to go try the next church. And all of a sudden, well, that church is so good for now. And then all of a sudden it's not good enough, and so I got to go to the next one. And then there's this cycle that keeps going, because the pupil has become a critic and a connoisseur. And that's, Satan loves that. You know, Screwtape Letters was written in 1942. And so this problem that we have today in Campbell River existed in the UK in 1942. I know we have won many a soul through pleasure. All the same, it is his invention. So pleasure is God's invention, not ours. He made the pleasures. All our research so far has not enabled us to produce one pleasure. All we can do is encourage the humans to take the pleasures which our enemy, God, has produced at times or in ways or in degrees which he has forbidden. So God is the inventor of pleasure. Satan is the twister of pleasure. He's a creator of counterfeits, and he's real, and he is working right now, trying to twist truth so that we will take what God has gifted us with and make it into something that he didn't intend for it to be. He has a bourgeois mind. He has filled his world full of pleasures. There are things for humans to do all day long without his minding in the least: sleeping, washing, eating, drinking, making love, playing, praying, working. Everything has to be twisted before it's any use to us. We fight under cruel disadvantages. Nothing is naturally on our side. It has to be twisted in order for it to work for Satan. In the preface of the book, C.S. Lewis wrote this. He said, there are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils, or about demons. One is to disbelief in their existence, and the other is to believe and feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. So two extremes. One is to live as if Satan doesn't exist, or believe he doesn't exist, and the other is to spend too much time on him. And on the one side, over here, he catches us unaware. And on the other side, he just loves us to pay so much attention to him and live in fear and become preoccupied with him, because then what happens is it distracts us from what he wants us to do, and that is to become the loving people that he's called us to be, so that he can use us to extend his gospel, his good news in Campbell River to our friends, our family, our neighbors. So let's dig into our passage. We're going to find out a little bit more about who our enemy is. And I'm going to start with the last two verses that we read from last week, verses 6 and 7, because verses 8 and following flow very clearly from verses 6 and 7. So 6 and 7 tells us to humble ourselves under God's power and give our cares to him. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. Now, the next passage, so this one tells us to humble ourselves under the mighty power of God. So this is how we should respond to God. And then he goes on to say, okay, that's how you respond to God. Now, this is how you respond to your enemy, Satan. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation, all power to him forever. So back to verse 6. Let's walk through this. So Peter juxtaposes here, and I put 6 through 9 here so we can see how they all fit together. Peter juxtaposes how we should respond to God and how we should respond to Satan. We humble ourselves under God. Why? Why do we humble ourselves under God? Well, because he's God and we aren't. And so we recognize that he is God. We recognize that he is all powerful. We recognize that he is good. We recognize that his motives are pure, that his motives are love. We humble ourselves under him because he is God and we are not. And we also humble ourselves under him because, well, Peter says he really does care for you. He cares for us. So give all your worries to him. Give all your anxieties to him. Give everything to him because he really does care for you, and he's God. And then he adds, not only is God on your side and is completely trustworthy on the one hand, but on the other hand, we have an enemy who is more powerful than you. And he's actively working against you. And if you do not humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, you open yourself up to the devil's work, the devil's power. We humble ourselves under the mighty power of God, recognizing that God is God and we are not, and that Satan is alive and well and real and working against our souls. Holding those two intention, both are true, but submitting to, surrendering to the authority of Jesus. Now, it's important to be aware of the reality of the devil, of Satan, of Lucifer, of the enemy of our souls, without giving him too much attention. And so I want to read several scriptures from the New Testament right now that tell us what Satan is like and how we should respond to him. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Our battle is not against the liberal government. Did you know that? Our battle is not against any organization. Our battle is not against people out there. Our battle is against the enemy of our soul, Satan, the accuser of the brothers and sisters, the liar, the thief. He's the enemy, and we have to make sure that we're clear on that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. So we need to be aware that some of those people that we know who that don't know Jesus, and it seems like they'll never believe, no matter how much we debate them, they don't move. Well, Satan has blinded their eyes, and so we need a different tactic than debating them and hitting them with our King James Bibles or whatever version you read. We need to go to prayer and pray to God, submit to Him, surrender to Him, pray for Him to take the blinders off their eyes and give you opportunities to love them into His kingdom. That's how we deal with the enemy. 2 Corinthians 11:14. But I am not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Remember, Satan is the great counterfeiter. Satan doesn't have a creative, original idea in his mind. He takes what God has created and he twists it. He takes the good things that God has given us, he twists them and says, use it in this way. And he did that all the way back in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, the fruit. Did God really say? Right? He twists the truth. He takes what's good and he makes us eat of it in a way that is harmful to our relationships and to our relationship with God. James 4:7, so humble yourselves before God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, the only tool that Satan has in his tool belt against those who are in Christ are lies and half-truths. Did you know that? If you are in Christ, Satan has no weapon against you except a lie and a half-truth. And so you can resist him. You humble yourselves. James says the same thing Peter says. Humble yourself before God, recognizing that he is all-powerful, and you resist the enemy of your soul. Not because you are strong enough, because you aren't. But because you are in Christ, you are covered with the blood of Christ. He purchased your salvation for you. And so the only tool Satan has is lies and half-truths. How many of you have ever experienced overwhelming negative thoughts that you don't know where they're coming from? Have you experienced that? Most of you have. I have. It is the enemy of your soul who is trying to discourage you, who is trying to use your past to shame you, to keep you down, who is trying to get you to imagine all kinds of things about the future, which have not come to pass yet, of course, to bring you down, to paralyze you, to keep you to live in shame. And if you are in Christ, you can resist him. You can say, by the authority of Jesus, I refuse to believe those lies. You have no authority over me, Satan, because I am owned by Christ. I belong to Jesus. And so I'm resisting you. And you can tell him that. In the authority of Christ, not in your own authority, in the authority of Christ. John 3:8. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. This is a scary thought. When we keep on sinning, What does John say? We're actually working for the devil. It's never neutral. It is never neutral. We can't say, well, I'm just going to take a break from God for a little bit, from living in his way and live my way. It's not just your way. When you move away from God, you move towards Satan. When you move away from doing things in the way that God designed you, you move towards Satan. You open up your life to his power. This is truth. And so we need to humble ourselves under the mighty power of God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. And live in the way that God intended us to live. Ephesians 2:2. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. Whenever we move further away from God, we move closer to Satan. It is never, ever neutral. Ever. What we do when we move from God, when we say, well, just this one time, I'll just look this one time. I'll just sort of nurture this thought in my mind that I know is not healthy. Stir it up. Feed it. Just this one time. We open ourselves up to the power of Satan. And Satan will help you do what you want to do. And the opposite is also true. When we resist Satan and choose instead to move towards God, to live in the way that God intended us to do, what we do is we open ourselves up to the power of God. We resist Satan. We open ourselves up to the power of God. He gives us the power to do what he wants us to do, to do the thing that's hard for us to do, and to not do the thing that is going to do damage to our souls and to our relationships. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Unresolved anger and bitterness and resentment gives a foothold to Satan. That's what that says. When we have anger we're angry at whoever, and we don't deal with that anger, it turns to resentment, it turns to bitterness, and the enemy of your soul will start to feed that, and you won't be able to give up those thoughts. You'll be turning them over and over and over and over in your mind, and your heart will pack down harder and harder and harder. You give Satan a foothold, and you give power to him. It's dangerous to hang on to anger and bitterness and resentment. So if you have anger and bitterness and resentment in your life, you need to make sure that you deal with it. Humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Unresolved anger, bitterness, and resentment is a killer of our souls. Revelation 20:10. So that was all sobering, right? You guys all look like you got hit by a truck. Here's the good news. Revelation 20:10, then the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, joining the beast and the false prophet. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Satan has an expiry date. Satan has an expiry date. Jesus defeated him on the cross. He defeated Satan, sin, and death on the cross 2,000 years ago. Satan is still on the warpath, but one day He will finally be chained and destroyed forever in the pit of hell where he belongs. And he will not be able to do the damage that he is doing right now. That's what we have to look for. That's what Jesus will do. He has all power. And a lot of the songs that we sang this morning, thank you to Lene and your team for choosing those songs so aptly. They were about the power of Jesus over sin, death, and Satan. Here's some things we know about Satan and his influence. He's a liar. He's a thief. The only tools he has against those who are in Christ are lies and half-truths. He's powerful, but unlike God, he is not omnipotent. That means he's not all-powerful. He's not omniscient. That means he doesn't know everything. And he's not omnipresent. Satan can only be in one place at one time. Now, he has demons that are working for him, but Satan can only be in one place at one time. But there's demons all over the place, and they're working, and they're real. And Satan is not infinite. He has an expiry date. God is infinite. Satan will often use things that look good in order to keep people in bondage. When we live in ways that go against how God designed us to live, we give Satan power over us. When we move away from God, we move towards Satan. 7, he is completely evil. There is no good in him. He is going around trying to destroy the good that God is doing. That's his job. That's his job description. He destroys everything good that God is doing on this earth. 8, he wants to destroy your relationships. Satan does not want you to have good relationships. And God created us for relationships. And so Satan is going to do whatever he can to destroy your relationships, both with people and with God. He is powerless against the name of Jesus. He's powerless against the name of Jesus. He has zero power against the name of Jesus. You need to believe this. Satan has zero power against the name of Jesus. Own that. And he has an expiry date. Okay, let's go back to read this again. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. So we humble ourselves under the mighty power of God, knowing that his ways are best, that he is good, that every motive of his heart is love and goodness and justice. Knowing that he cares for us, knowing that he is all-powerful, he is infinite, he knows everything, and he is everywhere at the same time, and knowing that he also never changes. And then at the same time, we stand firm against Satan, not in our own power, but in Christ, because Jesus has bought us. He has purchased us with his blood. And so because of that, we can claim the authority of Jesus against the powers of Satan and stand firm against him. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen. Now there's a big difference between God's motives and Satan's motives. God's motive is always love and kindness. He wants to heal you. He wants to restore you. He wants to reconcile you. He wants to do those things between you and him, and he wants to do those things between you and others. What God wants to do is he wants to heal you and restore you and build you into the person he originally created you to be, so that you can thrive in his kingdom instead of living in fear. Satan wants to do the opposite. He wants to destroy you. So let's look at how God some of the things that God has gifted us with. Ephesians chapter 1. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I'm writing to God's holy people in Ephesus who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Okay, now notice the difference in language between how God's word describes Satan and how God our Father is described and Jesus the Son. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So Satan takes great pleasure in destroying us. Satan takes great pleasure in causing us discomfort, in causing us disunity, in causing us discouragement. What does God find great pleasure in? Bringing us into his family. In loving us as his children. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us by his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance and he makes everything work out according to his plan. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy. That's what God wants for us. Jesus said, I have come so that you might have joy, that your joy might be full and complete, abundant, right? That's what God wants for us. Satan wants to steal our joy. And so if your joy is being stolen, sucked out of you, you can know that that is not God. That's the enemy of your soul, who is sucking the joy out of you. God never does that. Always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Isn't that amazing? You see the big difference in the language of Satan's motives and God's motives. What does Satan want to do? What does God want to do for us? A huge difference. And so we need to live in this reality, and it's going to take some practice. Live in the reality of who God has called us to be and refuse to believe the lies of Satan. to be aware of his tactics. He's going to sow seeds of doubt and discouragement and despair and disunity and despondency and shame. And you can stand against him, not in your own power, but in the power of Christ, because he bought you. He defeated sin, Satan, and death on the cross by rising from the dead. And he's rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son. That's beautiful. And practice saying this: we come against every force of evil that would war against our mind, body, and spirit. And we say to you that you have no right, claim, or authority over me, because I am in Christ. I'm in Christ. I belong to Jesus. And that's why we're celebrating the Lord's Supper this morning. So take a couple minutes of silence and meditate not on who Satan is. Meditate on who God is, your Father, and what he accomplished for you by dying in your place and being raised to new life.